Hello, my name is Rob Ray from the Wealth Consulting Group here at UBS, and welcome to the 10 Spot, an approachable, unassuming podcast that explains various wealth management concepts in about 10 minutes. In this third episode, we'll be discussing our first listener-requested topic from Stephanie here in Michigan on hedge funds. Hedge funds first gained public attention, for the most part, back probably in the 1990s or so. But hedge funds in general have predated this recent rise to prominence. It all started back with an Australian investor by the name of Alfred Winslow Jones, who's often credited with establishing the first hedge fund back in 1949. Now, at this time, Alfred worked for Fortune magazine and was writing a very snazzy article called Fashions in Forecasting. Alfred was the first to combine investments in companies or stocks that he thought would go up, along with investments against companies or stocks that he thought would go down in value. The idea was that if he combined these two approaches, he could enhance his overall return. Back in 1949, or the 50s and even 60s, hedge funds were considered niche products, only available to a select few. Since then, however, the industry has grown significantly, and there are now around 8,000 funds in existence with close to $4 trillion in assets under management. Given hedge funds come in such a wide variety of shapes and sizes, it's reasonable to ask, what do they have in common? Well, first, hedge funds are actively managed investment pools, which means that a portfolio manager or managers will be making active investments and swiftly adjusting those investments in the fund based on the current market environment and list of opportunities. Second, hedge funds also offer greater flexibility than traditional investments in offering such features as short positions, where you believe that the value of a stock or a company is going to go down, leverage, or the use of derivative investments, investments that derive their value from something else. Third, while many active managers are tasked with investing in a particular national equity market, like strictly U.S. stocks, or a sector, like strictly technology companies, certain hedge fund strategies allow those managers to seek opportunities across various asset classes in financial instruments. Fourth, hedge funds generally aim to generate asymmetric returns. Okay, what's an asymmetric return? The idea here is to create an investment or a portfolio that's not optimized just for higher returns, but higher risk-adjusted returns where the odds of winning are higher than the odds of losing. The goal here is to produce a superior compounding return over time. Fifth, hedge funds can usually charge a management and a performance fee, which can be seen as the cost of generating this type of risk-return profile. And finally, many strategies might limit the ability of an investor to exit the fund in a hurry, restricting withdrawals to maybe even once a quarter or even less frequency for strategies that require patient capital to execute their strategies. Now that you know a little bit more about what these different types of hedge funds have in common, let's explore some of the different types themselves. The first is the equity long-short fund, or the grandparent of the hedge fund industry, which our friend Alfred had started. This style of hedge fund seeks returns by purchasing the most attractive stocks or equity derivatives, again, an investment that derives its value from something else, and shorting or betting against the least attractive ones. While many of these funds believe more stocks in their portfolio will go up versus going down, They are therefore exposed to the direction of the market, where some funds are less vulnerable to falling stocks overall. This approach can involve taking a short and long position in a pair of similar companies in the same industry. In doing so, the manager is betting on their stock picking ability and is less exposed to the rise or falls in the market or the fortunes of the sector. This has the appeal of being a less correlated form of investment, with the potential to make money even during periods of market gloom. This strategy can also employ leverage to enhance its returns. Managers can also focus on particular sectors, styles, or investment strategy insights to specific equity markets, seeking a competitive advantage from their specialist knowledge. Second, we have event-driven funds. Here, the hedge fund is seeking to take advantages of market moves surrounding corporate transactions, including mergers, acquisitions, reorganizations, bankruptcies, or even share buyback programs. That's where a company buys its stock back from the open market. For example, a merger arbitrage specialist often takes a position on whether a deal for a company will be completed or possibly derailed by opposition from regulators or approval by shareholders. Again, since such a trade typically involves the relative performance of two companies in the same sector, they might make money regardless of whether markets are rising or falling. Instead, the return depends on the regulatory environment and the skill and foresight of the hedge fund manager. Event-driven managers can also seek returns from companies in financial distress, for example, by taking advantage of the fear from other investors in buying up their debt or their bonds, which tends to suffer a smaller haircut. A third type is referred to as relative value. Now, these strategies seek to take advantage of unjustified or temporary gaps in the valuations of related assets, commonly in the fixed income or the bond arena. The approach often involves trading a pair of assets that are highly correlated, meaning they move in the same direction with each other. Such funds can also seek to exploit price discrepancies between the same assets in different markets, which is commonly referred to as arbitrage. Again, these funds can use borrowing in an effort to magnify their returns, i.e. leverage. To identify these arbitrage opportunities, managers rely on a wide variety of fundamental and quantitative models. Key strategies include convertible bond arbitrage, corporate and sovereign bond arbitrage, and even asset-backed security arbitrage. Now, our fourth example is referred to as global macro. Our fourth example of hedge funds is referred to as global macro. Now, buckle in and hold on to your hats because this is a complicated one. These funds typically aim to exploit macroeconomic and geopolitical developments through their impact on currency, sovereign bonds from other countries, and interest rate markets. They often use a wide range of financial instruments beyond the basic stuff, including futures, options, and swaps, which inherently introduces leverage into the portfolio. Most managers use reasonably liquid investments to allow for quick shifts in the risk of the portfolio when the trends shift and have made them historically less vulnerable to market illiquidity. Such strategies typically generate good returns in periods of greater market volatility and lower liquidity. Having explored what hedge funds have in common and what makes some of the strategies different, you can appreciate how complex this space is and maybe why Stephanie was asking for a little bit more information on hedge funds. Hopefully, this wasn't too confusing, but it wouldn't surprise me if you had more questions. Investing in hedge funds can be complicated. However, hedge funds have proven to enhance overall portfolio returns while reducing volatility. Hedge funds can also be an option for investors that are seeking to lock in some market gains while maintaining some exposure, or for those looking to cautiously build fresh new positions. Now, as you can imagine, this has only scratched the surface on hedge funds, and we'll explore them in greater detail in future podcasts. Hopefully you found the past 10 minutes or so insightful, and Stephanie, hopefully I've been able to answer at least a few of your questions. As always, I sincerely appreciate you including the 10 spot in your playlist and sharing what you've learned with others. Please email me with any follow-up questions, suggestions, or topic requests for future episodes at robert.ray, R-A-Y, at ubs.com. Thank you for listening, and have an awesome day.